Good morning to you all, and welcome to our service this morning. A special welcome to those who are visitors with us. After the service, as always, if you have time to do so and you want to do so, please come through to the church hall and have a chance to have a chat with us and a cup of tea or coffee. The notices are on the bulletin. One or two things to draw to your attention, looking further ahead. Next Sunday evening, we've got our evening service in Urquhart, continuing in the series in Discipleship Explored, and Atty is leading that service next Sunday evening, and the theme is Righteous in Christ. Righteous in Christ. Is that right, Atty? Okay. And also the week after this coming week, two or three things are happening. It's not in the bulletin, but will be next week. Man to Man will be meeting in the church hall on Wednesday the 26th at 7:30, and they'll be talking there about personal testimonies. Friday the 28th, Cake and Eat It in the church hall. I think that is in the bulletin. That's at what time, Margaret? It's in the bulletin. Thank you. Yes. Okay. And a fortnight today, 1st of March, is our Communion Sunday. So the ones that are not in the bulletin this week will have in the bulletin next week. Just two other things to mention. Doris has now moved, well, yesterday she moved to her new home, which is in Forres. Doris has been a member, well, we were trying to work out how long Doris had been a member with us. I think we can safely say for many years, and she was a faithful member of the choir, and she was for several years our church cleaner. So we wish her well, and we'll remember her in our prayers as she's moved to flat one in Cameron Court in Forres. And the last thing is, I mentioned this last week, Community Bible Experience. We're planning to do it again after Easter. You all got one of these little slips with your bulletin last week. Thanks to those who returned them. I think one or two more have come back this morning on the basket at the back of the middle section here. If you've forgotten to bring yours back with you, or if you didn't get one last week and you want to put a form in, there's a pile of them beside the basket on the back there, and you can pick one up after the service. And it would be helpful, actually, if you could get it back in today, so that we can start to take on board what you're telling us and make arrangements for the next Community Bible Experience. Thank you.
Good morning. A wonderful morning with sunshine after the quite blistering wind, but that's also needed. It's the author John Kusler which writes about the Sabbath. Well, there's a lot of authors which wrote about the Sabbath, but he says there's something deep to be said about the Sabbath. It's not only a day of rest, but it's obviously, we know, a day of restoring or to be restored. But then he carries on and said he feels that it's also a day where we get to be restoried by God's stories and God's narrative. And I think it's a beautiful way of coming to church, hearing the message, and also think, yes, well, yeah, I'm part of God's, and I know the word story is a bit of a sensitive word, but of God's narrative and the way we are heading forward. And therefore, I ask you to join me in prayer this morning. It's Jesus who tells us in John chapter 15, "Dwell in me as I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray. Almighty God, grant us your Holy Spirit, which lives around us, within us, to think and do always those things that are right. We struggle with it, but we try our best. Help us with it. That we that can do nothing good out of ourselves may live according to your holy will. Through the way you would live, Jesus Christ, live and reign within us. Guide us, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our thoughts this morning, but also the rest of the day and the rest of the week. And help us not only to be restored, but to fit in to your story being restored. We pray this in your name as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace and mercy be unto you in abundance. Amen. Let's greet the Lord with a wonderful hymn for all the saints who from their labors rest, CH4, 740. Join me in prayer and then follow with me after a while with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Lord, in your word you tell us, this is the message to proclaim that you are the light, and there where you are there will be no darkness. Yes, and sometimes we do experience darkness. But thank you that you are the creator of everything. And that you have the ability to be within darkness and shed light. Therefore, as our loving God, we know that you woke us this morning with sunlight. We've sung it in our hymn, and we bring praises to you. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world who drives us and who drives all fear away in our lives. With confidence, we place our trust this morning in you again and again, and we confess that you are our anchor, our hope in times of struggle. And with this, Lord, we also confess that we sin and that our relationship are not always that good. It's a two-sided coin, we know it. It's not as if we can love you, but we struggle with the people around us or the other way around. And therefore this morning, we confess it. We confess that we struggle. But we ask your forgiveness. Lord, and if we ask your forgiveness, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to get up and go and live it. Maybe it was trouble at the house. Maybe it was something we said to someone else. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to give us the courage to live according to your grace and forgiveness and ask to be forgiven by the other parties as well. Thank you that you grant us your forgiveness and that you set us free, but that you also ask of us to walk within your ways. Help us this coming week. Help us today to find your grace. Remind us of your grace unto us first. Therefore, living from that, giving the same type of grace unto others. Lord, hear us when we pray together this morning, as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A beautiful old hymn, the old rugged cross. Let's sing it. And when we sing it, we also remember that our sins are really forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that the grace comes through Christ. confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Sorry for not mentioning it earlier. Let us confess our faith together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
Reading today is taken from Matthew 5, verses 21 to 37. It can be found on page 969 in the Pew Bibles. Murder. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Adultery. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Divorce. It has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Amen.
in prayer, let us sing from Mission Praise 545, open our eyes, Lord, and we can repeat the verse as a prayer to hearing the word of God this morning. This morning, I need to confine myself to the text, otherwise I would go pondering off on many things. So the moment you hear me pondering off, just tell me, focus, and give us what is worked out at your home. All these teachings, or as part of the Sermon of the Mount from Jesus that we've heard a part of in chapter 5 of Matthew, concerning anger, adultery, divorce, and oath, are connected in the intention of Jesus to speak to our hearts and to the depths of our inner being. He's not interested in outward show. Indeed, that is all that it is, if it's not only matched by a deeper inner sincerity. The shallow leads nowhere good. Jesus is not only addressing certain issues as being moral, but at the core of the message is that we are all created equally in the image of God. And I'll say my slant on this is it's about human dignity as well, and treating everyone fair and equal as they should be treated, as loved ones and as being images of God. Concerning anger, if we have a look at that, some people evidently felt no compunction in denouncing others as fools and rebuking them, trading insults and being angry. They knew it was a crime to commit murder, and the penalty for that was severe. But what penalty could there be in sounding off about another or simply putting out their anger in words against another person? But Jesus teaches that how we interact with our neighbors and the quality of these relationships does matter. So consider this, he was saying, what you thought reserved for deeds also reflects in words. The way I would speak to someone else would also have a deep impact on their inner being and the image they see themselves. Jesus is aware that such things are part of a spectrum, that the smallest of seeds grow into the largest of plants, and that the story of the first murder, I actually thought of doing Genesis 4 this morning, and I thought, no, we can't do four chapters in a row of Genesis. It would be of Cain and Abel. Why not? All right, maybe next time. Of Cain and Abel. And if we think of Cain and Abel, it's very interesting that the way Eve spoke there, and I'm going off the track. I'll get to the track now. The way Eve spoke there, Eve said, look, I've created a man. Very self-confident. It's just the way it was written. Not saying, look, God gave me a son. It's quite in her own saying. And then what we hear in Cain and Abel, it's something that's getting worked up. And then all of a sudden, the text tells us in that episode that it sprung upon Cain to kill his brother. So it was something that was just small and nursed, and all of a sudden it became something bigger. All right, let me focus back to the text. Therefore, Jesus tells us, depart from criticizing your brother or your sister, condemning or judging them. And if you have a real issue between the two of you, go and speak with them. Go speak to your brother, your sister, go speak to the friend, go speak to the colleague, and get reconciled with them. Jesus does not turn around things or is soft-spoken about certain situations. He's telling it straight to us. That way, when you come to worship and you seek restoration yourself in your relationship with God, you can say you have done what you can to build a bridge with your neighbor. Better that than to come before God seeking God's blessing and knowing you have done nothing to try to resolve conflict. And I ask myself, if I want to be restored with God, why should he restore me if I'm not willing to do the same unto others? Can you hear me clearly up in the gallery? All right. At the heart of the matter lies simple, uncluttered sincerity. Concerning adultery, when Jesus speaks about that, Jesus' comments are again about being true and respectful to the image of my fellow human beings. Relationships have always been the subject of gossip. The passage evokes the incident in John 8, where a woman is caught in the act of adultery because the effect of the teaching is the same. None can throw the first stone because none is without sin. So, it is that none should comment on the relationship of others unless they can be sure they have never been lustful themselves. Can I ponder a bit off the text now? All right, I will. I thought I won't. So what happened, very, very briefly, what happened in that incident in John chapter 8, or the woman caught out for adultery, there was actually a Jewish festival going on preceding it, where a lot of Jews around the countryside would have gathered in tents and temporary homes, and they would have a big, big feast, obviously consuming some alcohol, obviously interacting with each other, and in festive activities, and I don't want to read things into the text, but everything is not always up to scratch and up to the standard of living well during festivals. I see some of you know how festivals could turn out, even though it was a religious festival. It's being said, we don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand or the ground. But it was quite intentional, knowing that even the leaders might have taken part in some activities that was not supposed to be. And therefore Jesus tells, don't take the stone. Well, if you want to take the stone, just take it and throw it. But very interesting. Just look at yourself before you rebuke someone else or throw the stone to someone else. All right, here we go. Yes, the passage of John 8, I said, where the woman is caught in the act of adultery, because the effect of the teaching is the same. No one could throw the stones. Individuals wanting to comment on the relationship, I said, we need to know that we are blameless ourselves or never been lustful ourselves. Individuals wanting to know about the concern of divorce in this chapter, it's very interesting and I'm pondering off, sorry. The first letter of divorce was actually given by Moses, believe it or not. And then Jesus comes here and he says, all right, this is not only about divorce in this passage. There's something to be said about the context they lived in those days. Women were only seen as property and women had no say to who they were as part of the marriage. And therefore Jesus says, no, treat people equally. At a time when women were viewed as property and could not themselves seek a divorce, Jesus, like some other rabbis, was concerned that certificates of divorce could be given easily, even whimsically. A husband could just tell, in those days, could just tell his wife, I'm going to divorce you once. Second time, no, I'm going to divorce you. Just tell it twice. Third time, gone. She had no say in those days. Meaning that she's not seen and respected as an equal image created by God. And when I think of Jesus doing the Sermon of the Mount, I think of Genesis 1, verse 27, which reads, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Full stop. The law of the day, in Jesus' time, was not treating men and women equally. And Jesus knew that such an abuse of the law left many women in poverty. Jesus is keen to stop this practice. So it's not just about divorce here. It's about being image of God equally. He speaks in terms that make it clear that anyone who treats the commitment of marriage lightly, so that it can be bruised aside, or someone can be bruised aside, does a serious thing with difficult consequences for all concerned. Jesus' focus is again on what is actually happening. The substance cannot be ignored. And the last text was concerning oaths. Elaborative words, and this is what Jesus is actually saying, elaborative words designed to impress might give your prospective business partner a great sense of security. But Jesus asks, is this really necessary? Is this really necessary? The essence is keeping your promise. Therefore, may your yes be your yes and your no be your no. That is the essence. Coming back to reality and to the day we live in, I've asked myself, so what do we say about the day we live in? How does it affect us? When I read and media, social media, when you put on the television, we hear these days of fake news and of hate speech. And some figures in public view receive numerous expressions of hate daily, whilst the term fake news can be applied to anything that people don't want said. Times are changing for social media platforms. Those of you who work or have social media platforms like Facebook, they need to up the terms and conditions these days to see that fake news and hate speech is not being used. The growth of celebrity culture and the lurid interest of some TV programs in the way people behave generates gossip on a massive scale. And I ask, how has society become so focused on the relationships of people formed over the course of only a few weeks, or even people in particularly isolated places? Divisive politics and its reporting from the country we are living in and other places in the world would give you the impression, even today, that humanity had turned whole-scale to shouting at each other, maximizing division and rampage up aggressive language as we go. Whatever happened to the term living in good faith? Where has simple and honest respect gone? Could we put much energy into telling good news stories? The verses from Matthew 5 deals with complex interactions where emotions, and in those situations, it could easily escalate. It deals with real-life situations where we have the opportunity to think much deeper than our initial first reactions when responding to others, but rather focus on who we are as created in the image of God. Created by God equally to others, although we don't think so. No, we haven't demanded the right to be here or to have blessed lives. This is all grace. Who I am, where you are now, this is mercy. Through thankfulness, we treat others, therefore, with the same dignity, with the same humanity and love that God has for us. Even the way we speak to others, I've been reading about I love silence. I've been reading about language and the use of language in Christianity the past 2 weeks. Even the way we speak to others. Language, I see, is a gift from God. And God uses language to create and to command us. We use language to confess our sins and we sing praises to God. We use this very same language to know one another, buying and selling, writing letters and reading books. We use the same words in taking or talking to one another that we use when we are talking to God. The same nouns, the same verbs, the same adverbs and adjectives, same conjunctions and interjections, same prepositions and pronouns. There's no Holy Ghost language. There's not a language you use when speaking to God differently from speaking to others. It's the same words. Give us this daily bread is the same from the same mouth when I say, pass me the tatties, please. It's the same. It comes out of the same language pool. There is a lot more to speaking than getting the right words and pronouncing them correctly. Who we are and the way we speak make all the difference. We can sure think of enough creative ways to use words badly. We can blaspheme and curse. We can lie. We can deceive. We can bully one another. We can abuse and we can treat others inhumanely. We can gossip and we can debunk or not. Every time we open our mouths, whether in conversation with one another or in prayer to the Lord, Christianity and being image of God are on the line. And that's why Jesus' advice lowers the tension, whether in daily conversations, in what we might choose to say about others, or when making promises, including ones about our most important relationship. Jesus is actually telling us, keep it genuine, keep it sincere, keep it real, and keep it godly. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Almighty God, we thank you for your word. Father, it is our desire that you would restore us again today. We stand at the crossroads and ask for the ancient paths as it was done in Jeremiah, and therefore asking root us in the faith of our fathers and mothers and maybe great fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, as we participate this day forward. Part of your story, of your narrative. Jesus, maker of tables and teller of stories, create in us, we pray, a new imagination through your Holy Spirit. Invoke in us greater celebration and grant to us new language with which to sow your eternal word into a tired world. Creator Spirit, you who move over the darkness and gave the chaos form, inspire new songs of worship within our lives. Disrupt our dead religion. And therefore we also ask, draw other people, artists, prophets, innovators from the outside of our communities right into the heart so that we could celebrate the creativity of your creation, of you. And may we welcome others with words of kindness, of grace, and of love. Difficult, we know. But therefore, if we trust in ourselves, we will fail. And therefore, we ask you, Holy Spirit, lead us. You guide us. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Wonderful hymn, Guide Me, O Thy Great Redeemer, CH 4167. With your permission, I've changed Jehovah to Redeemer. But if you want to sing Jehovah, you are more than... I just really like the word Redeemer. It's just God saves us. It's just wonderful. Let's sing this wonderful hymn as praise and also asking God's guidance for the future.
I need your mind, really.
can bring our offering unto the Lord.
When I was praying about the intercessory prayer and prayer for the future this last week or so, I felt prompted to pray for openness. So let's pray. Open our eyes to you, O Lord. Open our hearts to you, O Lord. Open our minds to you, O Lord. Open our lives to you, O Lord. Open our ears to hear your purposes for us as individuals and the church. Jesus, you open us up to new life, new hope, new possibilities. You have conquered the way we close up, close down, and close in. Jesus, lover of us all, open our hearts to feel your compassion for people we would rather walk by. Open our ears to hear the cries of the suffering, deep inside where we cannot fail to be moved. Open our understanding to new ways of living that do not diminish anyone. Open our eyes to see a vision of this world as you would have it. Open the closed doors of our lives. Help us to open them wide and step into your light, so that we as a church and as individuals can journey on the path that you want us to follow. May your word, written, spoken, heard, be the lamp that lights our way. May your love be the compass that gives us the direction in the way you would have us move forward. May your truth be a signpost bringing clarity to our way forward. May your peace be a measure that guides us in our decisions as we travel. May your hope be like a banner that declares to the world that we walk with you. May your words encourage, prompt, and guide us when we falter or fail or fall. May your love guide our feet on the road ahead that leads to you. Lord, we need your wisdom that we might be receptive to change, conversion, and growth in our church. Lord, we need your grace to direct our hearts so that we are willing to offer ourselves in your service. Open ourselves to you, O Lord. Open our church to you, O Lord. Open our community to you, O Lord. Open our country to you, O Lord. Open our world to you, O Lord. Amen.
When I think of the words of the last hymn, and it's also all the hymns we sang today is also hymns we sang back home. When I think of the last hymn, Onwards Christian Soldiers, I usually have this image of crusaders in my mind. We're going to do this now. This is the thing. But I said this morning beginning that the Sabbath is also restoring ourselves within God's story. And therefore, when we sing this morning, let's restore or rewire our minds in this setting, asking God, God, if this is Onwards Christian Soldiers marching as to war, where is the war in my own life? Where is the troubles in my own life? Could you help me with that? So, Laura, we can give it when we sing it. But when we sing it as a prayer, asking God, God, help me in my own journey before I think of the journey trying to help others on their way. Good. Let's sing this wonderful hymn as a closing hymn. Onwards, Christian Soldiers. Three verses, It's verse 1, 4, and 5. Do you have two? All right, we should have you. Oh, sorry. Okay. One and five. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lord will set out before you to prepare your way ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to fold you, enfold you in his loving arms. The Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. The Lord will be above you to bless you. The Lord will dwell within your heart so that you may live by his love and his grace. Amen.